Hey everybody, Mark 15:6. Mark 15:6. Now it was custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. It says now it was Pilate. And it says at the feast, right? So the festival's the feast. So at every feast, it's customary for a prisoner to be released who's under the governor. And it says here that he to set free, to release, to let go, to send away, to depart, to loose, to annulment of an existing bond, specifically to divorce a marital partner. It's to sever by loosening, to let go and dismiss, to give him liberty to depart, to acquit one accused of a crime, and to release a debtor. It's to send oneself, really, and it says there to be returned home, same word used in Exodus double 33:11. So to free truly and to forgive, so to return home. Okay, so prisoner is somebody who's bound in bonds that ties and fastens together, a captive. It's a binding force or an influence to cause a union and a bond of fellowship, moral or political duty. Okay. Hey. Now to release from what? Unlawful? Or it's to from the word deo, right? So I compel, I fasten, I impel. And they requested, which means to they begged and to be excused and begged to have one near them. They begged to have one near them. That's what it means. As they requested, they were begging for who they wanted to have near them. And then you've got, that's right. So we'll look at the next bit. Mark 15:7 says a man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. Barabbas means son of Abba, so son of the father, son of Abba, and it means a robber, and insurgent is a rebel, and the insurrection is a violent uprising against authority, okay, which causes strife. It's strife. So murder is an unjustifiable slaughter or a homicide. And Mark 15:7, sorry, 8 says the crowd came up and they asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Asked Pilate, and Mark 15:10 says, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to them, to him. Or for he realized by now that the leading priests had arrested Jesus out of envy. Knowing, which means through personal experience, so he's recognized it through probably previous experiences as well, because they do this at every feast, and they hand over whoever comes against them out of envy, it says. Okay, we'll look at envy. Why not? Envy is 5thness. It's a grudge. Envy is a grudge or out of spite because of a breakdown due to corruption and strong feeling or desire that sours. It's due to the influence of sin. Okay? Envy occurs because of an influence of sin, and miserable trait of being glad when someone experiences misfortune or pain. That's what envy means. It's a miserable trait of being glad when someone experiences misfortune or pain. To the jealous envy that negatively energizes someone with an embittered mind. Okay. Handed over Jesus to him. Handed over means to have abandoned and to have betrayed and to deliver with a sense of close personal interest. That's what it means. So that to be able to hand someone over, there was a close personal interest, and it happened because of envy, as I explained. Okay. Mark 15:11 says, "But the chief priests stirred up the crowd, so that instead Barabbas might be released to them." We're going to look. I might keep going a bit. And Pilate again, he answered and he said to them, "What then do you want to happen? Should I give you the king of the Jews?" And again, they cried out, "Crucify him." And Pilate was saying to them, "What indeed did he commit? What type of evil did he commit?" But then they just kept shouting out, "Crucify him." They didn't answer the question. Okay, and Pilate, desiring for the crowd just to be satisfied, he released to them Barabbas and he delivered Jesus to have him flogged. All right, so we see, first of all, we see that at every feast, it was customary for the governor to release a prisoner who was bound in agreement or binded to, there was a binding force holding them captive as a prisoner. And if we go back to thinking about spiritual realm, and the natural just being a type and a shadow of what's actually happening here, and seeing that the prisoner was actually bound to the enemy through a union, through moral and political duty. Okay? And we can see that as Barabbas, so that he was bound up through a binding agreement that in the spirit realm causes him to be bound to the enemy because he's a criminal and he's a prisoner to the enemy here. Okay? And according to that law, it's customary during a festival that one prisoner is released when requested from the chief priests. Now we know now that Jesus is now the chief priest and he's made us priests in the order of Melchizedek. And he's the chief priest in us. Therefore, Jesus has all authority now. But then he was still working that out, working through that, okay, to accomplish that, to fulfill that, to fulfill the law. Now, what it looks like, what we can see is that during a feast, where there's a feast happening, a celebration, a feast. Now, we know feast to be feasting, at the marriage. Now, this is talking about that this prisoner is bound, like in a marriage. A binding captive, like taken captive as a binding force, like a union, okay? A union. Now we know there's also a feast of, we feast on the word of God, and there's a feast at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus has a table that he feasts at, and we feast at Jesus's table, at the table of the Lord. And that feasting daily, which is produces the presence of God, that feasting daily on his word in union, provides the ability for the chief priest to have a prisoner released and free from any bonds, any binding bonds that the prisoner may be under. Okay, so therefore, if the chief priests of today in Jerusalem are feasting on a regular basis, it just says at every feast. It doesn't say once a year or once a month. It just says customary at the festival. So if there's a feast happening every day there's a prisoner released when we request it. I'm not saying that they can't get themselves released because of the finished work of the cross and the power that Jesus has given us all. But what I'm saying, when you're captive and you're in prison with the enemy, you're under this city of punishment and you need someone to get you out. You know, the apostles had the angel open up the doors of the prison for them to get out. So, you know, if they're coming to the feast and we're teaching them to feast, whether or not they've come into agreement and they've broken the bonds and the binding agreement that they're in just by using the word in their own authority, because they're not in authority yet, because they don't know how to get there. And yes, Jesus has the authority, but they have to stay released. They have to stay free. So a continual feasting is a continual release, a continual looting, okay, of any prisoners, releasing them of any accusations and crimes as they feast. Without feasting, they have to do it themselves, and it seems that that's much more difficult to disciple somebody to come out of bondage with knowledge. Therefore, a feast will provide the chief priest the ability to request the release of that prisoner and lawfully, because of Jesus and his authority, we can do that. Okay? And so we see also with, you know, Barabbas being the son of Abba. And Barabbas, I'm not sure if anyone's seen the video, but, you know, he was pretty outrageous. And, you know, at that time, there was no forgiveness of sin if Barabbas had been the one that was remained a prisoner and was crucified and Jesus was let go. Barabbas would not have been free because there was no forgiveness of sin, so it would have been eternal punishment for him. So there's that, and there's also the fact that Jesus, it was ordained for it to happen the other way. But we can also see that through that, because Jesus came for all to be set free. Okay, and then so he was an insurgent, he's the robber. And, you know, he caused strife and he slaughtered people, which was unjustifiable. He caused violent uprising and the Lord was saying, showing very clearly that there is forgiveness of sin for that, because he was set free. Jesus goes to the cross. Salvation was made available for all. Okay? Even the robbers, even the strife and the slaughterers and the murderers. Okay. And then we've got we'll move to the next. So Mark 15, 16. It 16? No. Okay, then he said, so what evil do you commit? And then they just give me 1 sec, sorry. And then and then they said, crucify him. Okay, so then Pilate, he wanted to satisfy the crowd, he released Barabbas, and then he delivered Jesus over to have him flogged. And we see previously we've talked about that scourge, the flogging, fragilo. It's lashes in public, we see that. Okay, that's what it means there. We've also seen that in that city of punishment, which is sin, that that's what sin does. It keeps you, sin keeps you under this spirit, this functioning spirit of city of punishment. And under when you're under sin, when you're trapped inside that city of punishment, that sin just flogs you. It beats you up. You're bad, you're no good, you're that. And so we get that when we've gone into sin. Sin will just make you feel worse and make you feel bad and wants you to beat yourself up, so it flogs you. Okay, so we see that type and shadow of Jesus getting flogged by sin itself, which was the murder and just the hate and the evil all manifested in the soldiers just flogging Jesus. Because they were all under the city of punishment. They're all under under sin. All controlled by sin, the whole lot. Okay. Then Mark 15:16 says, and then the soldiers, they led him into the palace. I'll read it. No. Hey, ho. And the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace. The governor's headquarters, and they called out the entire battalion. And then they put on a purple robe on him, and they twisted together a crown of thorns and they set it on him. So the purple robe there represents royalty, and it indicates power, wealth, and authority. Okay, so they've flogged him. Sin has flogged him, okay, because all the sin's been put upon him, and now it's flogging him. It's flogged him, and then they've brought him into the governor's headquarters, which is the highest office, and they've put a purple robe on him, which indicates power and wealth and authority. It's royalty, okay. And then they twisted a crown of thorns together, and they also put that on him. Which means to weave it all together. So they've weaved together the thorns, okay, twisted together, weaving together the thorns. And the thorns are those, you know, the thorny plant. It's the Yeah, Mark 15:18 then says, and then they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. Mark 15:19, and they kept striking his head with a reed. Okay, so they kept striking at his authority. So that's what it's saying, like spiritually say, speaking here. They started to strike at his authority. because he's wearing his royal robe now, so he's authority, right? Sin knew what it was doing because they're demon spirits. So these people that were doing it under the power of sin, they had no idea that they're controlled by a demon. And the demon spirits are acting out who they are. You have a spirit of depression, you have a spirit of anger, you have a spirit of murder. And it can only act out who it is. And so these spirits are manifested in human form, acting out who they are. And that's why it looks like that. Okay, strife. That's what strife does. The spirit of strife, the little blob who's a spirit of strife, behaves that way. So if strife is occurring on you, in you, through you, around you, there's a demon spirit operating. Whether it be, and if you don't, you can go, okay, now we have the power to go, that's the spirit of, that's strife. And it says in the final quest to call it out, acknowledge that it's happening, and it will weaken its power. Right? Humble and say, okay, that's what's happening. And that's how to weaken its power. But back to here. So sin's just behaving the way sin behaves. Those spirits are behaving the way that they're created. That's what they are. That's like, that is exactly what it is, okay? So they're striking his head, which is to inflict punishment and to inflict wounding. They purposely wanted to wound him, which is his authority. They were striking, which is to what? Striking out means to at one's conscience, punitive evil, trying to inflict wounding to his authority. Trying to beat him down. Trying to. The repeated blows at his authority was to weaken his authority. So you need to do repeated blows to whatever spirit is manifesting, strife, addiction, because it's going to repeated blow at you to stop your authority. It has to, you have to go repeated blow back to it with your authority. But this is what it does. This is how it was manifesting in Jesus Christ down here, right? So the spirits are manifesting, they're striking at his head, which is his authority, trying to beat him down so he didn't believe, so he, they could weaken his authority. Okay, now doing it with a reed, which is a, it's a staff, which, but also it says it's a writer's pen. Okay, so they try to beat down the authority with a pen, with a writer, using a writer who has a pen. Right? So they can strike at someone's authority with a pen. Hello. By writing up striking words against the authority to weaken, try to bring continual blows to the authority so it can be wounded and in and to kill it, to in, make it ineffective. That's what it's doing. All right. And then it says that they began spitting on him. These are human beings, but they are controlled by demon spirits. So, Father, forgive them all, for they know not what they do. They don't understand the spiritual realm. They haven't been taught. They don't know. And controlled by demons, and it causes them to strike at authority. It causes them to beat down, causes them to be envious. Okay. And to spit. Spit upon him is what they did. Puto. Okay. And then they began bending down on their knees, kneeling down to him. So once they've done that, they've kneeled down to him to pay homage in their mocking way. And then it says that once they had mocked him, then they took the purple robe off and they put on his own clothes. And then they let him out to crucify him. So the demon spirits carried out all of that and then got on their knees and paid homage as if they were worshipping him. And then they mocked him, as they mocked him, okay? And to mock him means to ridicule and to scoff. So they were scoffing and they were ridiculing, thinking he was deceived and deluded. And then they took off his purple robe. It says that they took off there means to strip him. So they unclothed him or stripped him of his authority, of the robe of authority. The word mock also means to, from the word pason, it means to be, to jeer and to be in jest. Okay. And then, yeah, so they stripped him of his garment, of his robe, his royalty, royal authority is what they thought they did. It was an intent, that was the intention, because it's a type and a shadow in the natural realm. So the intention was to ridicule and mock his authority, put it on there and say, okay, here you are, what you are authority, look what we've just done to you. We've just done all of this in front of, publicly flogged you, put you under the power of sin. And yeah, we've done all of that. We've just talked about it. So, okay, and then they've unclothed him, stripped him, which is what they thought they were doing. They thought that they were making him bare. They thought that they were stripping him of his authority. Okay? And then they put his own clothes back on him. His own clothes was just taking him back to his own family, but like his own clothes, giving him his own clothes, his own private clothes, nothing fancy. And the garment is an under tunic. And then they let him out to, well, his under tunic, but it's also what was close to his skin. It's also like on his skin, which talks about being a mantle, his worth. And they let him out to to death, it says. Well, the exargo means, and then they let him out to crucify him, which means to lead him out to his death. So they led him to his death. They actually literally did all of that and then led him to try to lead him to his own death. Did lead him to his death. And the word there, death, and it says that it's the city of punishment, which we've talked about before, being the city of punishment, which is the city under sin. Okay, and then that they may crucify him, and the word crucify him there means to subdue his passion. Okay, so the idea there of the demons, those evil spirits, or those evil servants in the people, operating, manifesting through the human beings, making it look like it's a human being, but it's the demon. And the whole point was there to crucify him, which was to subdue his passion. So to remove his passion to save people and rescue and heal them and help them. And we'll have a look at that in a minute too. So reduce his authority, strike at his authority, publicly flog him, wear him down, right? Beat him down, strike him down, ridicule him. And then crucify him so his passion's subdued, so he'll stop being passionate about saving people and helping people. That was the whole point. That's the motive, okay? And then Mark 15:20 says, and then they mocked him. They took off his robe and said that, and then they crucified him. Mark 15:21. A certain man from Simon, the father of Alexander Rufus, they're passing by. They forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place of Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he didn't take it. And then they crucified him. And then they divided up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each person would get. So then they divided up his clothes, his garments, his work, his mantle, rolling dice to kind of work out who gets what. And looking again from a spiritual perspective and understanding this is a type and a shadow in the natural, but in the spirit something else is happening. So they're dividing up his belongings, his garments, his mantle, and casting lots and who's going to get what portion. So what portion, what of the souls that have been saved, of the territory he's taken? So they're trying to get the territory back. Okay, so who's going to get the territory that Jesus went into, and he actually went and took territory, went in, drove out demons, saved people, healed people, changed people's lives. Now they've crucified him. It says that now they're going to do, they've divide they're dividing up. This is the spirits in the people. The people think they're getting the clothing. The people think that, oh yeah, because they're dumbed down by a demon spirit. They think they're dividing up and they're getting a piece of clothing. Oh, yep, I'll steal that clothing and I'll take that clothing. The demon that's operating in them knows very well what it's spiritually, it's which territory do we get now that we've crucified Jesus? All the territory that he took, let's go back and now we get the territory. Okay, because we've killed him. We've killed off the authority of that territory. That territory is gone. That authority that took that territory is gone, so now it gets back, goes back to the demon, goes back to the devil, and the demon can go back to Satan and say, "We got the territory back." Okay, that's what it's saying. All right. So really, the people are just getting—they're just getting used like a puppet for Satan, and they have no idea. All right, and it was 9 in the morning, and they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." Okay, so it's important to see that. So the inscription, it says the label that was above his cross says, it was written his ac the accusation against him. So this is why he was killed. This is the accusation. This is what he was charged with, calling himself the King of the Jews. That was why they crucified him. That's the accusation that he said he had authority from Jesus. Okay? Accusation is a reason, a charge for crime, the fault that they had against him. Okay? And it was that he claimed and proclaimed he was the king of the Jews, that he had authorized authority over that region, over that territory. Okay? And that absolutely sent the demons into chaos and strife and uproar and uprising, because how dare you say that you have authority over this territory? It belongs to us. So the demons in the people get the people to uprise and uproar, but it's the demon to the demon. The spirits are playing out. We're all just host bodies. You're either a host body for Satan or his puppets, or you're a host body for the Holy Ghost. And as you grow in the things of the spirit, you grow mature by eating the word of God and get revelation knowledge, you too will learn who you are and start to operate in this authority. And know that you have authority over every spirit impure. And you're sent here to take the territory for the king, for the kingdom. Okay? And then Jesus said, and then with him they crucified two robbers, one at the right hand and one at the left. Now, at the right hand, the robber is sitting at the right hand of power. He's a leader to sustain Jesus. Okay? Sitting at the right hand of Jesus, the robber on the right hand that got crucified with Jesus is a leader to sustain me, it says. Okay, they're actually called a leader to sustain me. Leaders who sustain the word of God. They sustain Jesus. They sustain the word of God. They keep it in the earth. Those who are at the left hand are pagan and in omens and unlucky magic. Okay? Crucified. But to the left. All right. And then, hey, orasarivando. Yes, thank you, Father, for it. Thank you, Father, for your beautiful spirit and your power, your glory, your authority, your revelation knowledge, restoring all things to the perfect order. Subduing the enemy under our feet, banishing sin, all evil, wickedness, and sufferings to the pit, never to return again and have a power or authority in this territory region, in this nation. Amen. Thank you, God. And then Mark 15:28 says, and this fulfilled scripture that he was reckoned with the lawless. He was reckoned with the lawless. Okay, so that was to actually fulfill scripture. So he fulfilled it, and then it's to be numbered or to take account, to take the account of the lawless, because he was crucified with the lawless. So he was actually numbered as a lawless one against the law. That's what he was reckoned as, and so he took on the account of that. But in fact, he absorbed, fulfilled the law, become the law, absorbed all the sin, and set us free. Mark 15:29. And those started passing by him while he's hanging up on the cross, crucified publicly. They began hurling insults at him and shaking their head at him. In disgust, shaking their heads in mockery. Ha! Look at you now, they yelled at him. You said you're going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Come down from the cross and save yourself. And in the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they mocked him as well. They mocked him among themselves, and they said, he saved other people, but he can't save himself. So he saved other people. The word saved there means to bring healing. He rescued them from the penalty and the power of sin and brought them into safety. Mocking means to mocking one another against around each other, among each other, mocking. Okay. So he saved others, but he can't save himself. So he rescued the others from the penalty and the power of their sin, and he brought them into safety. And they're laughing at him because they're like, ha ha ha, you rescued all these people. You healed them all. You rescued them from the power of their sin, which is also a demon spirit in the people saying it. Ha ha. You saved them all from the power of this and you brought them all into safety. But now who's going to save you? There's no one here to save you. And you can't save yourself. Mark 15:32 says, well, Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross. Let us see so we can believe. Come down from the cross so we can see it, so we can believe you. And even the men who were crucified with Jesus, they ridiculed him. So even the robbers up there, they were crucified with him. Even the leaders to his right hand, who were set apart for power, who were set apart to lead and to sustain Jesus and to sustain him in leadership. Even they ridiculed and mocked him. Fair enough, the ones on the left, the pagans, the unbelievers, the ones with the magic arts, I get that. But the ones on the right, they were sitting at his right hand man, even they mocked him. Heaped insults on him. And then they said, so come down so we can believe. So we can believe and be persuaded by faith that you really are the Messiah, that you really are the authority of Jesus. Come down and show us, prove it. That's what they're saying after they just ordered his death. And then that noon darkness came over the whole land. All right. Then we've got Matthew. We're going to jump over to Matthew 18:4 now. Matthew 18:4 says, therefore, not 18:4, 8:4, sorry. Matthew 8:4. It says, Aya Sorita, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the Living God. He says to him, then Jesus instructed him and he said, see that you don't tell anyone. That's talking about when he got healed, right? Made him clean, cleansed him of their leprosy. Don't tell anyone, but go straight to the priests. The priest, and offer the gift of Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Go give the gift required by Moses, which is what? A gift required by Moses, which is the law. A gift is an expression of honor. It's money, either money cast into the treasury for the purpose of the temple. But particularly it's the gift required by Moses of the law to express honor, which means to give yourself. Give yourself as an offering. Go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded. So you're a public testimony that you've been healed and cleansed by Jesus. So go offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Go give yourself to be offered as a sacrifice. Sacrifice your life so you can be cleaned out and be filled with the law, which is Jesus Christ himself, and actually become a living witness. And then Jesus, and to become a witness, right, of the law. And then Jesus, he entered Capernaum and the centurion came to him asking for help. And he said, Lord, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. He's lying in the house, paralyzed, grievously tormented. That's what it says, grievously tormented. And the Lord said, well, should I come heal him? Should I come heal him? And jump to Mark 1:4 now. And it says, John the Baptist prepares the way So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. So that's the command. The sin's forgiven. Coming out of the city of punishment, accepting the sacrifice for sin. Now go to the priests and offer yourself as a living sacrifice, as an expression of honor for what was given to you, for you being rescued and saved from the power of sin. Go give yourself now as a living sacrifice. That's what it's saying to do. Jesus went and saved and healed everybody, but he couldn't save himself. So now you've been cleansed, now that you can identify your sin and acknowledge it and then weaken its power, now you have some insight. Go offer yourself as a living sacrifice, your whole life, and allow yourself to be given as the law. Filled with Jesus, the lawgiver down here, as a living witness that he has completely healed and changed you and cleansed you. Right? He's like, so shall I go heal him? That's the centurion who's got servants. Well, you can't go heal him if you're not a witness. Have to be a living witness. Everything has to, you're giving yourself as a complete gift. Look. And then once you do that, you John the Baptist in the wilderness, you're preparing the way. You're preaching the baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sin because you've been forgiven of your sin. You've been filled with the law. And you've got the ability to heal. That's the demonstration of the kingdom. That's the gospel. That's a demonstration of what's happened to you. That's honor. That's honoring what's happened for you. Then, we have so many Christians and nobody who's walking in the John the Baptist power. Who's walking as the judge down here? It's judges judging. Why? Because nowhere here does it say that you're going to have a cushy life. It says you're going to be John the Baptist standing in the wilderness with an irritating mantle, preaching repentance to a city of punishment. Preaching repentance and forgiveness of sin. Inside to the city of punishment, standing in your authority, and when they try to strike your authority, standing up and making everything submit under your authority and not backing down. Not backing down when they want to crucify you, not backing down when they come against you. But also not living for yourself. It's not just a little bit of Jesus on Sunday. And then I have an exact representation of a normal life like everybody else living Monday to Saturday. That's not kingdom. It's not. And that's what we're being called to. We're being called to live as a living sacrifice, filled with incredible power that speaks the truth, filled with the Lord Himself, who can only speak repentance and forgiveness of sin, for that's what He is. Amen. If everybody stopped living in the world, in the city of punishment, trading and trading floors and trading their money. It says there, an act of honor is bringing the money into the temple, and also giving yourself to as a living sacrifice. Both there, that's an expression of honor. Bring your money into the temple, Put all your money into the temple of Jesus, not into an organization that's not living sacrifice. Sitting, looking different to the world. If you stop functioning in the world would stop because there's nobody there playing the game. Right? That's true. Amen. God bless you guys, and God keep you. Pray that this word blesses you. Thank you, Father, for the anointing that breaks the yoke of all sin. That all ears are open to hear the message of the kingdom. That all eyes will see and their hearts will receive your word. Letting no hindrance, no division, no strife, no power of sin operate whatsoever. It would be absolutely crucified. And as soon as sin starts to manifest, it would be weakened through admission and confession. You confess your sin, you confess what it is, and it's weakened its power. Amen. Amen. That's what we do. God bless you. God keep you. Till next time.